Yeah, there's a theme that shows up in both the Old and New Testaments, which means to most people that the fact that they don't like to hear about it, and that theme is the fear of God. Most people enjoy hearing about a God of love or a God of grace. Most people like to think that God is merciful and tolerant, which is all true. However, very few appreciate or like the fact that God is a God to be feared. In fact, as we near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, this precious doctrine will be almost forgotten. Now, of all the things that should promote a fear of God, the ultimate is future judgment. God is going to judge, and that thought should promote a fear of God. Now, you'll notice that the theme of fearing God is one that shows up in several of these verses in Psalm 76. Shows up in verses 7, 8, 11, and 12. I know that most people say this word is a synonym for reverencing God. There's no question that the idea of reverencing God is contained in the thought of fearing God. But the Hebrew word here is yara, is one that not only means to have a holy reverence for God, but so realize this stupendous power of God is one that he should actually be terrified of him and his judgment. A proper fear of God will promote a piety in one's life, and the one thing that should promote a proper fear of God is the theme of the judgment of God. And when we consider past judgments of God and consider future judgments of God, there should be a proper fear of God produced in each of us. All people should fear God and seek to be in a right relationship with God in view of his coming judgment. From the superscription, we learn that this is a psalm of Asaph, who was a worship leader and music leader for Israel. And we know that he wrote this psalm for the choir director to be accompanied by a stringed instrument. We also note it's a song. So this is a psalm that not only is to be taught, but is to be sung. This would actually mean a double communication of the data in the psalm. You teach it in corporate worship, and then you also sing it in a corporate worship. The primary theme is fear God in view of coming judgment. And this concept is totally foreign to many churches who do not want to preach about judgment because they want to be visitor-friendly and politically correct. But judgment is a theme people should hear about when they go to worship, and that should prompt them to fear God. Here's some reasons. God is to be feared because his name and his judgments are known. Look at verses 1 through 3 of Psalm 76. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. His abode has been established in Salem, his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword, and the weapons of war. Selah. Now, when we carefully analyze these verses, there's a hidden assumption made, and that is God's judgment is made known to the people of God at the place of worship of God. God was known in Judah. God was known as the great God of Israel. People learned about God as they went to the tabernacle in Jerusalem, which is also known as Zion. Obviously, from verse 3, one of the themes that was presented at the tabernacle was the theme of judgment. God broke and destroyed all enemies who went against God. See, this is what the church is supposed to be about. It's not about entertainment, not about plays, not about concerts, not about just looking at these things. It's about making God known through his word. And one of the themes that comes out of the word of God is that he is a God of judgment who protects his people and destroys his enemies. Asaph literally saw God do this with King David, and he also saw it with the city of Jerusalem, which David captured from the power of the Jebusites. When God's people would go to tabernacle to hear about God, one of the things they heard about was God's destruction of enemies, and that is something that should promote a fear of God. When people go to church, they need to hear about the judgment of God. They ought to hear about the sins that will lead to judgment. They ought to hear about judgments that have already occurred and judgment that will ultimately occur. Unfortunately, judgment is not a topic that will pace in the masses and most places of worship neglected. However, those who promote a high and holy fear of God do not. And Selah says, stop and think about this. But God is to be feared because his judgments are majestic. Look at verses 4 through 7. Glorious are you, more majestic than the mountains full of prey. The stout-hearted were stripped of their spoil. They sank into sleep. All the men of war were unable to use their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse lay stunned. But you, you are to be feared. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? God is able to do things to accomplish his purposes that you and I cannot possibly do. He has much more power than any enemy, and he shall be feared because of it. There are many references in Scripture to God's judgments and the mountains. Only God can do things with the mountains. Now, what is described in these verses by Asaph is the power of God, which was greater than the mountains of prey. They were strong, stout-hearted enemies who hid in the mountains. They preyed on the weak, and Asaph knew they certainly were after David. Saul sent his best and strongest military men after David into these Palestine mountains, and according to verses 5 and 6, what God did was make them go sound asleep. The mighty warriors fell into such a deep sleep, and even the horses fell into a deep sleep, that David went into the middle of them and cut off a part of Saul's clothing. God is to be feared because he has so many things he can do in judgment. Only God gets angry. Once God gets angry, he can and will do some very unique things to break his opponent down. God could crush an opponent with one phone call, one doctor visit, one car ride, one plane flight. A person can lie down to go to sleep, and God can instantly take that person into eternity. The ways of God are far beyond, and all should fear him. No matter how stout-hearted one may be, that stout hearts that are against God will be broken by God. And God is to be feared because his judgments are just. Look at verses 8 through 10. From the heavens and you uttered judgment, the earth feared and was still, when God arose to establish judgment to save all the humble of the earth. Selah. Surely the wrath of God shall praise you. The remnant of wrath you will put on like a belt. God will always pour out just judgments. He will pour out his wrath on those who deserve it, and he will deliver those who deserve to be delivered. God's judgment comes straight out of heaven and is aimed straight at those on earth. It is the right judgment at the right time. In verse 9, God makes it clear that he will save the humble who believe in him and trust him. When he says, the wrath of man shall praise you, it can mean the wrath of man against God or the wrath of God against man. Either way, God ends up the winner. And God's wrath is a doctrine that promotes three main themes. God's wrath promotes the theme of punishment, of praise, and of preservation. The wrath of God does punish people who have mocked him. The wrath of God will always promote praise because in the end, even God mockers will bow before God and praise him. The wrath of God preserves the humble and those who love him. And if you notice at the end of verse 10, those who are humble are classified as a remnant. Comparatively speaking, it's always a small remnant who are right, really right with God. And then God is to be feared, and his judgment shall promote worship. Look at verse 11. He says, make your vows to the Lord your God and perform them. Let all around him bring gifts to him who is to be feared. So no question that one of the things that future judgment shall promote is corporate worship. The pending judgment of God shall prompt people to want to go to church to worship God. God will honor those who continually honor him. In order to continually honor God, there are some very tangible things God's people do to show they truly do fear God. Proper fear of God should cause us to be involved in two actions. Proper fear of God should promote a consistency in fulfilling promises. People who have a proper reverence for God follow through on what they promise to do. Now, people make all kinds of promises and don't have much fear of God. Every New Year's, people come up with some resolutions that most never but follow through with them. People volunteer for things all the time and never follow through with their word. There's no fear of God. And a proper fear of God should promote a consistency in giving. When we faithfully and consistently give our offerings to the Lord, it's a form of reverent worship. Notice all who are near God will bring their gifts and offerings to the Lord. And God obviously takes notice of who gives what. He knows what we have and what we give. And then God is to be feared because his judgments are designed to promote fear. Verse 12, who cuts off the spirit of princes, who is to be feared by the kings of the earth. Eventually, God will be reverenced and feared by the political leaders of the world. Typically, kings and political leaders of the world do not fear or reverence God and promote that their people should do the same. Most political leaders are proud and pompous and are not about to humble themselves to the Lord. God says they will all come crashing down. And God will cut off any person who does not fear him. And one of the big targets will be the kings and political leaders of the world. Practically speaking, a true place of worship will promote a fear and reverence for God in view of his coming judgment. And where a true knowledge of God is revealed, there will be a reverence for God that is seen and sensed. We need to realize that God has more power than any enemy we will ever face. Whatever the enemy or whoever the enemy, God will topple them. We need to intensify our faithfulness to God in view of judgment. We need to fear God. We need to fear judgments because our own is coming. We need to understand that there's never the majority who love God and his word. It's a remnant. And we need to be true to our word, faithful in our giving, because God does view that as reverent worship.